From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. Today we have a talk by Brother Amar Vivek. Brother Amar joined the Sri Sathya Sai Bal Vikas in 1977 and later the Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organization as a Sevadal member in 1981. The turning point in his life came in 1986 when he joined for MBA in Swami's University. Currently, he is the Additional Advocate General, State of Haryana, at the High Court of Punjab and Haryana at Chandigarh. He also manages a multidimensional rural project, including model school that gives free education to nearly 475 poor children, a hospital and a vocational training center for the last 28 years. All of this offered free of cost as per Bhagwan's guidance. He was awarded National Youth Award for Social Work in Villages by the Prime Minister of India in January 1987 and also accompanied the President of India to the then USSR in 1988 under Study of Rural Development. In this talk that was delivered in Dharmakshetra on the 24th of November 2019 as a part of the Samarpan series, he talks of his life experiences and learnings from Bhagwan. Stay tuned, dear listeners. After the talk, we have some soulful songs by overseas devotees. And at 3:30 p.m., we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. With that, over to Brother Amar Vivek.
Om Shri Sai Ram. My most prayerful and respectful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Bhagwan is always there with us. Revered elders, dear sisters and brothers. When Bhagwan came in our lives, this is what he wanted to establish, that through you, I will radiate and manifest myself. There were so many sweet things which we experienced with Bhagwan, lovingly, through his looks, sometimes just caressing, sometimes through hard words, harsh words also. I cannot forget, to begin with, what happened in Dharmakshetra here in January 1987, when we all came here with Swami for Bhajagavindam drama. Swami had given us some money, and one day Swami asked us to go around the city. We all went. We were 50 odd boys. We decided to pool some money and purchase a carpet, thinking that in the evening Swami will call us to his room and there we will present this carpet to Swami as a token of our gratitude. So in the evening all of us were ready, fully prepared. One Sevadal comes running and he says, Bhagwan has called all of you, please come empty handed. We were all taken aback. Suddenly the light was gone. That preparation which we were making was gone. And we all went there, climbing those beautiful stairs inside Swami's room. And as we entered and we sat around Swami, Swami says, Aya? Sabhi aya? Khali hath aya? Khali hath aana, jholi bhar ke le jana. Those words were enough to take life out of our bodies. Swami was telling us that what he wants to give us. And we were all ashamed also, silent also. But at the same time, we did not want to give up. So one of us picked up the courage as we were sitting around Swami. Said, Swami. Said, yes, tell me. Swami, we want to give you something. Yes, give me, I am asking, give me. Says, Swami, we want to give you a carpet. Oh, very beautiful. This is the most beautiful gift. Unroll the carpet of your heart, I'll walk on it. Thereafter, we had no more courage. And then Swami says, you're all mad fellows. I gave you money as mother that go move around in the city, and you think that you can please Swami by this? No. You can please Swami only through one method, through your conduct. I cannot be pleased with all these gifts. You want to give me a gift? I am there standing at the door of your heart, knocking at you. You are not opening the door. Open the door of your heart. Install me there. That is the gift I want from each one of you. With such profound message, Swami always wanted to say only one thing, that you're all mine. But do we consider ourselves as His? Each one of us has stories so beautiful, so enchanting. So this is how I thought that some of those stories I'll connect at the lotus feet and recollect and reconnect. I remember first day when Swami spoke to me, when I had joined here in Prashanti Nilayam, was 18 September 1986. So Swami was asking a few boys, who is Amar Vivek? And then somebody pointed out towards me, and I kneeled up. Swami said, what is your name? I said, Swami, Amar Vivek. Hamara Vivek? And it was such a loving expression. I said, yes. Tum achha hai to Hamara Vivek, tu bura hai to Hamar Vivek. Can we ever forget such golden words of Swami? So we have to be pure to be His. This is what He says. After all, throughout His avatarhood, what did He demand from us other than purity? I still remember the last day when I passed out of Prashanti Nilayam University and I was to go back. Swami said, do you know what I want from you? I said, yes, Swami. When you go out, don't bring bad name to Swami. This is all I want from you. Such a big responsibility, such a big expectation of mother. He has trained us. He has kept us in His proximity. His sannidhya was all that we were seeking, and He was giving. I still cannot forget those loving moments. I still, when somebody calls my name, I am reminded of that my name is not Amar Vivek, it is Hamara Vivek. So this is how divine plan kept on unfolding in my life, chapter by chapter, leaf by leaf. I still remember when I joined Sri Satya Sai Bal Vikas in 1977, the first Bal Vikas guru who was taking my classes told me that we have to do something to be nearer and dear to God. So she told me, can you stop listening to radio songs? I said, yes. From that day onwards, I stopped listening to the songs. In 1981, as a Sevadal, when we were all working in the institute administrative block, which was to be inaugurated few days later, once I stood and prayed, I said, Swami, please call me here. I want to be a student at this place. Over the year, few things happened. I was working in the Satyasai organization in 1984. Punjab was having turbulent times, Operation Blue Star, etc. Our exams got postponed. I applied for law admission. There was only one university left, that is Punjab University, because the admissions were delayed. When the merit list was displayed, my number was shown 51 in waiting list. That evening, I went for bhajan session. At the end of session, I had an elderly lady, and my auntie, whom I used to drop back after bhajan. As I was about to pick her up on my scooter with one dholak and chimta in my hand, she asked me, "What happened to your admission?" I said, "Auntie, I am 51 in waiting list." And in her magnificence, in Punjabi, she tells, "This Swami is going to turn 60, and he does not know how to do the job of their students. If he does not do the job of their children, who keep on every day playing his bhajans, whose else job he will do?" And that admonition directly went to Swami, it seems. Next day when I went to department to check my status, I came to know that 36 students had dropped, and from 51 it had come to 15. And in no soon time I got the admission. I was pursuing law without knowing that why I was pursuing law. Suddenly an opportunity came in 1986 and I joined Satyasai University. I still remember it was a very big struggle. Initial days in Prashanti Nilayam, coming from Chandigarh, trying to settle down, seeing those very, very unique moments. Once it so happened that we were all required to serve breakfast, and that day there was no water in the hostel. So we were supposed to go to a hilltop, fetch water. So we decided that 14 of us, we were 28 in the first batch, 14 of us, we will start serving breakfast, and other 14 they would rush to the class because our classes would start at 7:30 in the morning. So we quickly organized water, breakfast, everything. In spite of everything, we got delayed, 14 of us, by 15 minutes. By the time we entered the classroom at 7:45, our dean came out, closed the door on us, and asked us that you are late, you are not admitted to the classroom. So we were all taken aback because we were not expecting such kind of response from the dean. By the time the next period came at 9 a.m., we were all served show cause notice that why should you not be marked absent for 7 days. So suddenly a lawyer in me, took birth. And that day I decided that I am going back, I am not going to study here. By evening I had decided to pack my bags. In the evening after bhajan, one of my classmates came to me, looked at my packed bags, and he inquired from me, "Are you going back, Amar?" I said, "Yes, I am not going to study here." He said, "Come with me." He took me to the top floor of the hostel. We used to call it D floor, open to sky. He took me there. He asked me, "Why did you come here, Amar? Why did you come here? Did you come here for MBA program?" I said, "No." He said, "You came here for Swami. MBA is only an excuse. A time will come in your lives when you will realize that this Swami, for whose sake you have come here, he creates a very special bond, and you have to work out that bond. Unless you establish that bond with Swami, your life will be incomplete. You are getting an opportunity here. Create that bond with Swami. And once you establish this bond with Swami, this Swami is never going to leave you. That day was a big turning point in my life. Of course, I stayed back. And through my friend, Swami was guiding me again. Create that bond. We all have to work out that bond. I still remember, while we were all singing bhajans here, once we were in Puttaparthi, singing bhajans, that evening Swami called us and he said, "Hey, you are not singing bhajans properly." Then we said, "How, Swami?" He says, "What you are doing, neither you are clapping properly nor you are singing. What you should be doing?" That day one bhajan was sung and he asked, "See, Rama, Kodanda Rama, what is this? What is the meaning of this bhajan?" When a bhajan is sung, always imagine in your mind that this Rama, this Krishna, this Sai, he is going to eliminate ego. He is going to eliminate all deficiencies in us. He is going to kill that Danava in you, which you are carrying day in and day out. And then Swami said, "You are all walking dustbins. You carry dustbin in your mind. Don't go and empty it outside. Every day you fill it with all the dirt and don't clean it." So this Rama, this Danava, Rama has to kill that Danava in you. So pray that during bhajan time. So he made bhajan so lively for us. Otherwise, we all know that every day we sing bhajans. But we should sing bhajans for a purpose. And the purpose is that we get connected to him, we cleanse ourselves, and we install him. So this is how Sai Avatar has been bringing a slow and steady transformation. We all say that Bhagwan has been performing chamatkar. What is that chamatkar? Swami always used to say that there are four stages. Chamatkar gives birth to sanskar. Sanskar leads to propkar. Propkar gives you sakshatkar. So unless we have all these four in us, it is no point in having the sannidhi of avatar. And Swami says, only mode of devotion I prescribe is transformation. Transform yourself. Be good. Do good. See good. This is the way to God. So many incidents like this happened day in and day out in our lives. I still remember once it so happened in our hostel, Swami was not talking to us. We were all very upset that Bhagwan was not looking at us. Some elderly gentleman, he presented me a book, Sai Sachritra, on Shirdi Baba's life, and asked me that you read it in 7 days and Bhagwan will definitely respond. So I thought, all right, let me read it in 7 days. So last day came, probably last day was a Thursday. So on previous day, I finished the entire book, leaving on only one chapter to be read on Thursday. So that day in the morning, I thought that I will go to the college. I'll come back and I'll distribute some prasadam. But in hostel, it was very difficult to procure prasadam from outside. Then an idea came in my mind that during lunchtime, paisam would be served in the hostel canteen. I will quickly enter the hostel canteen, get hold of the paisam tub, and I'll serve that paisam. So all preparation done in my mind. Lunchtime came, I quickly entered the canteen, and the teacher in charge was standing there. The moment he saw me entering little early than the lunchtime, he asked me, "Amar, are you free for some time?" I thought that he will give me some work and my mission will fail. So very hesitatingly I said, "Yes sir, tell me." He said, no, if you are not free, I'll give this task to someone else. I said, no sir, I am free, please tell me. He took me inside. He said, Swami has sent some sweets. I wanted some boy to distribute. Good that you have come. Please take hold of all these sweets and distribute to all the boys. See how he responds. Any prayer, all we need to do is we need to make a prayer to him and he responds. He is telling us only one thing. Get connected to me. Remain connected to me. And once you remain connected to me, then you will see that I will answer all your prayers. I remember similarly, it was my birthday. My parents had come here in Prashanti Nilayam, and in the evening at 5:30, Swami grants them interview and tells them that I am going to give a special prize to him in the month of January. That was 26th December 1986. We came back after bhajan to the hostel and a boy was standing and he told me that, sir, warden wants to see you. As I approached the warden, he hands me over a telegram and he says, boy, open and read it. So I open the telegram and the telegram mentions, you have been selected for national award which will be presented by Prime Minister on 12th of January. Just 1.5 hours back, Swami had told in the interview that in January I will be giving you a special blessing. So Swami knew everything, he created everything. And next morning, when I went and showed that telegram to Swami, Swami had no excitement. He just looked at me, gave me a mischievous smile and said, if you want to go, you go. And walked away. That evening I told my parents, I said, I am not going there. Unless Swami tells me, I want you to go, I am not going. And my parents did not realize what was happening and they came back. Few days went by, nothing happened thereafter. 7th January, I was sitting in Mandir. Swami came and asked me, hey, you didn't go. I said, Swami, you never said that I should go. No, no, I told you if you want to go, you can go. I said, no, Swami, if you want me to go, then I will go. Okay, I want you to go. Go. Go today. And he immediately asked one or two boys, go and help him pack his bags. He must leave today. And that night I boarded the train. And on 9th morning I reached Delhi. Why I am narrating all this? Only to recollect one thing. Every word which Bhagwan used to say was a Veda. It had that significance because he was creating everything at the same time telling us, believe in me. Once it so happened that he had taken all of us to a senior devotee's house in Coimbatore. So as we entered there, the leaves had been spread on the floor. And good number of pickles, some of them very hot, had been put on the plates, and those leaves. And we were all made to sit there. Now Swami had been telling us not to waste food. So I used to make it a point not to leave anything in the plate. I did not want to take one particular pickle, it seemed very hot. I wanted the Sevadal to take away that. But the boy sitting on my next side said, no, no, it will look rude. They are serving in their own manner. Don't touch this pickle. Just keep it on the left side. Nothing will happen. So I simply had to obey. I finished the entire food except that corner on the left side. I folded the pickle, the leaf. Suddenly Swami came that side. Sab kuch finish kiya? I looked at him. I said, yes, Swami. He says, open the leaf. Now there were two Swamis, one inside me and one looking at me. And I was telling Swami inside me, save me from this Swami. And suddenly my hand fell on the left side, and as I opened the pickle, the leaf, it got tore from this side, and that side was absolutely clean, and my hand was on the side where a small corner was left, and that was left folded. And Swami said, very good, I like it. And he walked away. Swami only knows how to save from Swami. And Swami only knows how to bring us close to Him. Because He creates these situations only for the purpose that we enjoy His love. But He wants us to follow His word to the last. Had I not followed Him, what would have happened? I would have crossed myself. But Swami says, when you pray to me, I respond. Any prayer to Him will not go unanswered. I remember, not very far, in 1997, I was in the court. Suddenly a phone call came from my wife. I picked up the phone and she tells me that my daughter had fallen from the roof. I was taken aback. I did not know how to respond to her. I quickly ran outside looking for my car. It was barely 8 minutes from the court to my house. As I was frantically looking for the car, trying to drive back to the home, I was only saying one thing, Sai Raksha, Sai Raksha, Sai Raksha, and I did not know anything else. As I reached outside my house, I saw my wife, my mother, with my daughter in their lap, and they quickly jumped inside the car, and I looked at them and said, where to go? They said, okay, let's go to the hospital. I said, Sai Ram. Suddenly, my daughter opens her eyes and tells me, Papa, I am fine. I have no pain. I don't want to go anywhere. I thought this was Swami responding to me. I could not imagine what was happening. Because He has promised that I am going to take care of you and I will be taking care of all your troubles. All you need to do is repose faith in me. That instant relief which Swami gives, and Swami alone gives, is the proof of the fact that He is taking care of our lives completely and for all times. When I had finished my education at Puttaparthi, I told Swami that, Swami, I want to set up a hospital, school and vocational school in a village. Swami takes my hand in His own hands and tells me that I am going to do for you what you will do for me. I look at Him and I did not know the answer. He says, go back, set up your legal practice. I said, no, Swami, I don't want to enter legal profession. He said, why? What is the meaning of LLB? And that is the time He answers, live and love Baba. If you live on my words, you love me. If you don't live on my words, you may say 1,000 times, Baba, I love you. Being in profession, follow me, I'll take care of you. So I came back, enrolled myself as a lawyer. All of a sudden I got an opportunity for 1 year course where seven nations representatives were there in the rural development area. With Bhagwan's grace, I was able to draw a project report. I went to Swami. On the title page, word Jagriti was written. I went and showed it to Swami. Swami took pen from my pocket and wrote words Sri Satya Sai Gramin above that word Jagriti and said, "You have my blessings, I'll take care of you." At the next page, there was an index showing that we require 27 acres land for this project. I told Swami, "Swami, we need land." He says, "No, no, you don't need land. You need my hand. My hand is always with you." I took Pad Namaskar. In the night, I boarded the train to come back to Chandigarh. There were a few gentlemen sitting by my side. They asked me, "Sir, today evening, you were in darshans. You were showing some papers to Swami. We were also in the darshan line. We were looking at you. What were those papers?" And the discussion started about the rural project. Now these gentlemen were from Yamunanagar town in Haryana. So they told me, "Sir, you come to Yamunanagar. We will show you a piece of land there." I told them that Yamunanagar is 110 kilometers away from Chandigarh. It will be difficult for me to come and commute. They said, "Sir, just now you told me Swami's hand is going to take care of everything. Why are you worried?" I said, "Yes, you are right." Next day, I reached Yamunanagar. These gentlemen took me to a village. We went to the sarpanch, the headman. I told him that, "Sir, we want to set up a hospital, school, vocational school free of cost here. We need land." So this gentleman tells me that we have 27 acres land. Suddenly the word struck me that in the project report I had written 27 acres and this man is echoing the same figure. I said, "Sir, we will go to Swami, we'll seek his blessings and come back to you." He said, "Don't worry, sir. You just sit here. I'll call the meeting of the panchayat. We will draw the resolution. We will give you the resolution. You take this resolution and go to Swami." So those people, they got assembled. They drew the resolution. They handed me that paper. It is at that time I came to know the name of the village was Dadwa. I asked them, "Sir, what is the meaning of this word Dadwa?" They said, "Sir, this Darad in Hindi is snake hole. This was land of snake holes. That is why it was known as Dadwa." And that moment I realized why Swami was already ahead of me. Because we all know word Puttaparthi in Telugu means land of snake holes. I with reverence took that resolution, reached Puttaparthi, was sitting in the darshan line, holding that resolution and waiting for Swami to come. As I saw Swami coming towards me, suddenly my monkey mind tells me, "I should have translated this resolution. It was in Hindi. How would I make Swami read it?" And Swami reached me, asked me, "Look at the date." And then my monkey mind tells me another thing, that rest of the resolution is in Hindi, only the figures are, you know, numerical, and Swami must have read those figures. I said, "Swami, 17th July. Do you know what was that date?" I said, "No, Swami. It was Guru Purnima day that year." "Do you know the significance of Guru Purnima?" I said, "No, Swami. On Guru Purnima, I take a vow that so long as the sankalpa of my child is not fulfilled, sun will not set. So I am going to do this. Go, work, I'll take care of you. And in my childish nature, I ask him a question. Swami, can we construct a boundary wall around this land? And Swami laughs at me and tells me, no, no, this project is not going to have any boundaries. It will have love and sadhana. Boundless love. Go. Your duty is only to have love and sadhana. I will take care of the rest. We come back. Now we were to get the possession of that land from the government. We applied to the government of Haryana. They refused possession. They said, sir, we don't know what is your organization, what is your standing, what are your credentials. We can't give you this land. That day I was very, very sad. I came home. I sat in presence of Swami. I started crying. And I slept. That night I had Bhagwan's dream telling me, you go to Delhi. So next morning I got up. I remembered Bhagwan's words. I picked up my papers, boarded a bus to go to Delhi. As I was about to reach Delhi, I asked myself, in Delhi where? Whom to see? I prayed to Swami, Swami, where? And suddenly I thought, okay, let me prepare a list of Swami's devotees who are in Delhi and I'll see one of them. So I write the first name. So and so, Mr. Shankar Dayal Sharma, Vice President of India. Then I said, no, no, no. Second name, Mr. Shivraj Patil, Speaker Lok Sabha. These are the people who came to Puttaparthi when we were studying there. So I said, okay, this name seems to be fine. So I tried to locate his address and reach outside the house of Mr. Shivraj Patil, Speaker Lok Sabha. And I tell the guards, sir, I want to see the speaker. They asked me, do you have an appointment with him? I said, no, sir. They said, sorry, sir. He will not meet people like this. You have to have appointment. And I remember Swami, Swami, please help me. I need an appointment. And a car crosses me and stops. A gentleman gets down and asks me, sir, where are you from? I say, Swami, sir, I am an old student of Swami and I want to meet the speaker. He says, sir, then why are you waiting outside? Please come with me inside. I am Mr. Shivraj Patil's son. I'll take you to him. And he takes me inside, makes me sit in his drawing room, and the speaker walks in and he asks me, sir, what is the issue? I said, sir, this is how I wanted to work for Swami's project. We wanted land. Land has come. Now the Haryana government is not giving us the permission. He said, don't worry. He dictates a letter in the name of Haryana Chief Minister that, sir, this is going to be a very unique project for the state of Haryana. If Swami's institution is set up there, please look into the issue. And he hands me over that letter. With that letter, I come back, try to meet the Chief Minister of Haryana, show him that letter. He constitutes a committee of 3 people. Who listens to me? Again, they ask me probing questions. What are your credentials? What are you doing? How will you set up this project? What is the value of this project? You say 50 crores. From where this amount will come? All those questions. And I silently say, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. So after those gentlemen are finished, I say, sir, I want to ask you something. There is an organization which is most powerful. It has all the resources. It has all the money. It has all the planning. And that organization is government. Yet in this village, for last 40 years, ever since independence, no hospital, no school has been set up. I said, "Sir, this organization, government, needs an extended arm that is an NGO. So we are an NGO, we are the extended arm, we will set up that school, hospital, through our own efforts, on the land given to us by the government. Please give us a chance. We are the youth who want to work for the voluntary cause. We have our professions. I am a practicing lawyer, but I want to work in the villages. You keep on telling that after passing our, obtaining our degree, we get lost to the world, but I want to work. Give me a chance to work." So those gentlemen say, "Okay, wait outside, we will take a decision." And then they call me after some time and say, "We have decided to give you the permission. Go and work on this land." And they hand me over the order. And that is how the project unfolds. Now, we all decide that, okay, with Bhagwan's permission, we set up a hospital, school, vocational school. We come back to Swami again. And Swami says, "Money is my responsibility, morality is yours. This project's evolution is directly proportionate to your own evolution. I want your purity. If you have purity, everything will happen." This is a very, very simple but a profound statement of Swami. He is not interested in institutions, but he wants institutions established by people with purity. Today, I was taken around in this place, this hallowed place of Dharmakshetra, when in 1987 we had gone to the room of Swami, and today once again I was taken to the room of Swami. The same vibrations, the same level of purity I could see, because the people here have kept this place with that sanctity, with that purity, with their devotion and dedication. This is how Swami's institutions are set up. This is how Swami expects us, that with unity, purity and dedication we work together. That is the key to success which Swami is teaching us. So many avataric missions have come in past. Sri Satya Sai Avatar says, "I have given you another aspect of Sri Satya Sai Avatar besides Darshanam, Sparshanam, Sambhashanam. I have given you Sangathanam, my organization. Organization having my name, in which you are all entitled to work with purity." This is the gift of Sai Avatar to all of us, through which Swami wants us to attain Him, attain the path of Sai, which leads to Sai. This is the beauty of Sai Avatar. We all know the profound messages contained in Vedas, but in Sai Veda there is only one message: service to humanity with humility, with love. If we are able to do this, Swami is going to do the rest. We do not require any proof. We do not require any substantiation, because Swami is going to take over our lives. Once we are sure that we are pure, and that is what He is teaching us day in and day out all through. So many instances have taken place, and I most humbly say that if I am to recount what has happened in last 30 years, probably it will take me 30 years to narrate all this. But we all know that our lives are modeled only by Swami. They are chiseled by Swami. In our lives, there is only one purpose: to walk on the principles given to us by Swami. If we are able to do this, which is our responsibility, rest all, Swami will take care of us. I still remember that probably it was 1st January 1999, a cold January morning in Chandigarh. The gentleman doctor in our hospital, he comes to me in Chandigarh and tells me that, "Sir, people need now vibhuti. The patients are coming to the hospital. They don't want medicine, they want vibhuti. So I want 100 packets of vibhuti." So I said, "Sir, those 200 grams packets, I only have one or two with me. 100 I do not have. But let somebody go to Puttaparthi, we will get them." He said, "Sir, I want them today. Don't become a lawyer in the habit of granting us adjournment. We want it today." I said, "We'll pray to Swami. Let's see. Swami will give us." That day I reached the court complex. I am about to park my car in the busy parking area, but there was a slot available for me. As I was reversing the car, looking in the back view mirror, on the road berm, I was seeing those cellophane papers, golden papers. We all remember vibhuti packet packing. So I thought that maybe since morning I am thinking about vibhuti packets, I am seeing those papers also as vibhuti packets. I locked my car, but still I had the thought, let me go there and check. As I go there, I saw vibhuti packets spread over. One packet was open. I tasted, it was vibhuti. I quickly returned to my car, looked for an envelope, and with that envelope I returned there and I started putting those packets one by one. I was in lawyer uniform. Vibhuti was all getting spread over my clothes. There was a rush of people around me, curious to know what this lawyer is picking up from here. 99 full packets and one open packet of vibhuti. 100 packets. I did not go to the court. I returned to my house, called up this doctor gentleman, Dr. Singhal, who was looking after the institution, and I told him, "Sir, just now an air courier has come. We got the vibhuti." I gave him the prasadam. Of course, I retained a few packets with me. And I narrated this incident to so many of friends of mine. One friend of mine called me. He said, "Vivek, you have that vibhuti with you? I am coming to your office tonight. Please, I want that prasadam." That night he walks in. As he is entering, he says, "Note down the address of the courier." I said, "Which courier?" He said, "The one who delivered vibhuti to you." I said, "What is his name?" And then he narrates this story to me. This gentleman's brother-in-law was the convener of Shimla Samiti in Himachal Pradesh. Shimla is about 100 kilometers from Chandigarh. This gentleman was returning from Puttaparthi with a carton of vibhuti containing 100 packets for his samiti. On 31st December, he boarded the bus from Delhi to reach Shimla. Since it was prasadam, he did not keep it down. He purchased another ticket and kept it on the chair along his side. At 12 in the night, this bus reached Chandigarh bus station. He got down to make a phone call to his wife that, "I'll be reaching around 4 a.m. Please open the door because it's very cold." When he came back, he found the vibhuti carton missing. Some thief had flicked it away. And he broke into tears that, "Baba, your prasadam is gone. Some thief has taken it away and he might throw it in some dustbin. and the prasadam, its sanctity will be lost. And whole throughout his journey he was crying and crying, not realizing that this thief was none other. The same Lord Krishna who wanted this vibhuti to be delivered to his villagers, the patients, and for which he had enacted all that anecdote once again as Sai Krishna for all of us. He will fulfill anything for us. He will do anything for us. Because he has given us the assurance, I am going to do everything. I still remember that once we all decided to construct a beautiful state-of-art basketball court for the children, because our children were very promising in that school. So somebody suggested that, sir, we are receiving money by donations and the devotees contribute, and 11 lakh cost is quite exorbitant. Can we have an ordinary basketball court? Then we all prayed. They said, okay, we are praying to Swami, we will have the best. So we started the construction. On a particular day, I receive an email. I am sitting in my office with my PC. I receive an email from my secretary telling me, sir, this basketball court is ready. As I open that email, I saw a beautiful basketball court unfolding in front of me. And beneath there is a small note, sir, it has costed 11 lakhs. In my office, there were two gentlemen sitting in front of me. They also see that picture. They say, sir, what is this? I said, sir, there is a rural school in which this basketball court has only been recently been constructed. They say, sir, what is the cost? I said, sir, this has costed us 11 lakhs. They take out their checkbook, write the name of our school, issue me a check of 11 lakhs. They said, sir, this is our small contribution. How did Swami know this? Only the same assurance repeatedly telling us, I am there to take care. You only need to believe in me, believe in my words, and I will take over. Simple message of Swami, yet he has to remind us day in and day out. We forget it. I still remember we all had gone to Kodaikanal with Swami. On the way, we stopped over at a guest house. This guest house must have been informed earlier, that attendant, that Swami is arriving there. This was in 87 April. As we went there, we found the guest house attendant missing. So Swami was to serve us food that day. So Swami said, okay, don't worry. Go behind, you might find some table. And when we went behind the guest house, we found a table, we brought there. Swami started serving us food. We all had food. And then we sat around Swami, listening to him. And after some time, suddenly the watchman appears. And he was very apologetic. Swami, I'm sorry. I was waiting for you. I forgot about the time. Swami said, don't worry. Then Swami, you please come inside. Swami said, now we have already waited here for 40-50 minutes. Now we will be moving. He said, no, Swami, you must come inside. You must put your lotus feet inside. I have prepared. And then Swami went around the guest house, came out, called for Brother Radhakrishna, who was driving his car, called for a packet, handed over that packet to this watchman, which we did not realize what it contained. But when the watchman opened that packet, he was in tears. He started crying. And then Swami told us that previous year, in 1986, Swami had gone to the same place and Swami had taken pictures with that watchman's family. Some boy must have clicked those pictures. He must have in the due course given those pictures to Swami. Swami retained those pictures for one full year, remembered to carry those pictures with him, waited for that watchman to come, full 45-50 minutes, even though he was late, to give him that joy, hand him over those pictures. That is perfection of Swami in human form. That is why he was saying all the time, descent of avatar, descent of God for ascent of man. He is here for us to uplift us, to take us to that level with the promise that we will follow his word. Because he says, you are also God. You don't know. I have come to remind you. But we have to believe that. In Kodaikanal, once we were all having food with him, we of course recited Brahmarpanam, waited for Swami to eat, but Swami would not start. We were all wondering. We were waiting, praying, the Swami please have. None of you offered me food today. I'm not going to have. He said, Swami, we offered. He said, how did you offer? He said, Swami, we just now recited Brahmarpanam. He says, that means every tape recorder is saying the same thing. Then all tape recorders will be liberated. You are all speaking like a tape recorder. I don't want, this is not bhakti. Then he says, see, food is in front of you. The minimum that you should do, when you're closing your eyes, reciting the mantra, imagine in your mind that you are feeding me, I am feeding you. Can't you imagine this? Those delicacies, those items of food which are lying in front of you, at least make it lively, make it real in imagination. Imagine me, let me come to you, let me partake that food. Then I will make this food pure. Because he does not want us to worship God as picture. He wants us to believe that he exists with us all the time. He is listening to us all the time. Otherwise, there is no purpose. The moment we remember him with the faith that he is listening to us, he'll respond. That is the belief which all of us need to carry with us all the time. And then we see Bhagwan responding to us. I remember a very old incident. This incident was told to us by the older devotees pertaining to Bombay. There was an elderly lady here in 1960s who had been assigned the task of putting a garland on Bhagwan's statue every day. So this lady was passing through, the entire family was passing through a financial crisis. But this lady would make sure that she will walk every day from her house, put a fresh garland on Swami's picture. This task she was performing with all faith and belief. It so happened that the family of this lady, they went to Vrindavan to have Swami's darshans. Outside Vrindavan, they found a few persons selling Bhagwan's small busts and statues. She purchased one of those busts. It was of brass. A thought must have crossed in her mind that, Swami, if we would be in good times, I would have purchased a gold bust. And she went for the darshans, putting that Swami's brass bust in her hands with the belief that Swami will come and bless her. Swami came, she offered that brass bust to Swami. Swami took it away and walked. She was expecting that Swami will give it back to her. Swami walked a few paces and then turned towards this lady and threw that bust towards her. She kept it with herself, taking it as a blessing of Swami. After her darshans, when she unfolds her palms, she found that bust had turned into gold. That simple prayer crossing in her mind had been answered by the Lord, because she stood to her task. She had been assigned the task, and that task she carried out. Swami responded to her and fulfilled a very, very simple thought in her mind. Because he says, I fulfill each one of your wishes if you are doing my work. I know of an incident. There was a teacher of mine in Chandigarh. She had a sister teaching in Army School, Jammu. This lady teacher in Jammu did not report for her duties for many days. She was absent. And one fine day, when she went back, her commanding officer, one Colonel Bhosle, took her to task that, why you did not come here all these days? This lady was in tears. She says, sir, I went to Army Hospital, Chandigarh. I got checked up. I have been detected with blood cancer. Now, this was 1970s. So this gentleman says, madam, I have heard that in south, in Andhra Pradesh, there is one Sai Baba. You go and see him. If he says your cancer is cancelled, your cancer will be cancelled. So this lady, along with her sister, they come all the way, changing several trains. During those hot days of May, they reach Puttaparthi, only to discover that Swami was not there. He was in Chennai. So these ladies were in much trouble, but a bus driver offered help to them. He said, ma'am, I can drop you tomorrow morning at the place where Swami would be addressing the congregation of the devotees. So they decided to go to Chennai. Next morning, they were dropped in the Chembur area, where probably Swami was to deliver his discourse. As these two ladies got down, they saw a row of cars unending. They walked all the way to reach that ground, probably Abbotsbury, I think, only to see a sea of devotees standing in that, sitting in that park, listening to Swami's discourse. And at a distance, an orange dot on the stage was the size of Swami, which they could see. That far, that distant, they looked at Swami, and in the loudspeaker, they could only hear his voice. Now these two ladies broke into tears. They lost their patience. They kneeled down there, bowed down to Swami. They prayed to Swami. Swami, we have come here all the way from Chandigarh. Here you are delivering discourse on Janma, Karma. But it is our karma that we have come for your darshans. Whosoever you are, we offer our prayers to you. We cannot stay anymore. We are going back. They turn away. One sevadal keeps running, runs into them and says, "Who are Chandigarh sisters? Who are Chandigarh sisters?" So they look at him. They say, "Yes, sir, we are from Chandigarh." He says, "Sir, Swami has sent Vibhuti for teacher sister and asked me to convey you, your cancer is cancerous." He quickly arranges a glass of water, pours Vibhuti into it, and hands over a few glasses, packets of Vibhuti to her, makes her drink that Vibhuti, and says that, "Please go back. Swami will take care of you." Both of these ladies were in tears. They once again bow down, thanking Swami. As they were turning away, this gentleman again comes running, hands over a few more packets of Vibhuti. They say, "Please give these packets to Shivaji as well and go back." Now they put all this stuff in their purse, thank Swami, go back. This lady gets herself checked again from the army hospital in Chandigarh. Those doctors who had detected her cancer 15 days back find no cancer. Now this lady with a box of sweets goes back to join her duties and hands over the box to her boss, commanding officer Colonel Bhosle, thanking her that, "Sir, you guided me to the right place." Now this Colonel Bhosle was a non-believer. He only heard what he narrated to them and he wanted to know everything in details from these ladies. So this lady started giving all the detail to him. And then at the end he says, "Madam, can I see this Vibhuti?" So she takes out the packet. He says, "Ma'am, can I take one?" She says, "Why one? You can have as many. In fact, that man returned back and gave me some more packets of Vibhuti for one Shivaji whom I don't know." He says, "I am Colonel Shivaji Bhosle." Even his prayers were answered by Swami. That is the magnificence. That is the beauty of this avatar. I'm sure we all know. All these stories are taking place with us, happening with us. I am only recounting a few of those divine experiences which all of us have. Swami's love towards us is ever expanding, is ever growing. We all need to only do one thing: have faith in him, surrender ourselves at his lotus feet, and tell Swami that, "Swami, we are yours." I am sure we will all be near and dear to God if we believe that we are on his path. If we follow his word, we are his. I still remember that when the team of our project members visited Puttaparthi in 2010, one elderly lady, she tells Swami, "Swami, I love you." Swami turns towards her and tells her, "Love my words." So we all need to love Swami by loving Swami's words, by following his message. I am only standing at this point to tell all of us, to remind all of us, that this Bhagwan has a very, very special relationship with us. He did not come in our lives in vain. He came only with one mission, to transform our lives, to make us sanctified, to make us all His. We are all His because we know His word, we love His word, and we follow His word. I pray to Swami that, Swami, please make us follow Your word till our last breath, so that we all belong to You, we become pure as You want us to see, and we all belong to You. Sai Ram.
I searched in the church. I searched across the mountain, I searched the deepest sea.
God is everywhere, God is everything, God is everyone, God is you and me.
To search no more, God.
God is everywhere.
Everywhere.
God is everywhere.
Forevermore. There is only one language, the language of the heart.